Lord God, thank you so much for your love and how you just cover us in it. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to just feel totally encased in your love today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I realize I'm asking this question in the middle of Pennsylvania. Well, sort of the middle. Have you ever surfed before? Couple people. I didn't really think that was going to get a huge response. I've always kind of seen surfing and been like, man, that'd be kind of cool. It looks like a lot of fun. And then you also look at it and you're like, that looks really hard. So maybe a more appropriate question is, have you ever seen a video of someone surfing? We're going to watch this short video about this. It's just a short little video of this guy surfing. So let's check it out real quick. So those of you who raised your hands, did you ever do that? I didn't think so. That's pretty crazy. My favorite part about the video is like how it zoomed, like it's real zoomed in and doesn't look like that big of a wave. And then as the camera backs up, you're getting like, oh my goodness, that's huge. I have no idea how that ended. It didn't look like it ended all that well. But for every guy who, or girl, who rides a wave successfully, there's 50 who fall, who get just kind of taken over by the wave. And that's not a legit statistic. I just kind of made that number up. I have no idea what the real statistic would be. But can you imagine what it would be like to be just totally engulfed in a wave, especially one that big, and just kind of be getting tossed around in the water? It would be pretty crazy. So I was trying to look around and get some thoughts from the internet, from surfers or whatever, to see what they say about what it's like. And funny enough, I stumbled upon something that Mark Hall from Casting Crowns wrote about surfing one time. And he said, I was out with my students, he's a youth pastor, surfing in Florida once, and we were just learning how to get up and how to do this thing. I never mastered it. But when I got the closest to getting on the board, a wave hit me and I went rolling. I rolled so many times that I didn't know where up was. I couldn't figure out where the air was. The light was going everywhere and that was a terrifying feeling of no control. Absolutely no control. That sounds terrifying. And he was just in like Florida. It wasn't like these gigantic waves or something like that. I mean, but I also found this little tidbit from a guy who does surf, maybe not as big as that wave, but pretty, like, much bigger waves. He actually knows what he's doing, unlike Mark Hall, who was couldn't even get on the board. But this guy says, a big wave will hurt you physically, squash you from the weight of the water, which is an interesting sensation. Every part of you gets squeezed. Shake you about so hard you'll be completely disoriented, and it's just a more violent experience. I find I'm comfortable under a wave for about so long, and then I think, oh, this is a long one. And then I start to consciously think about survival by forcing myself to relax and stay calm. You see the difference in their perspectives? Mark Hall is kind of, I've lost all control. I don't know what to do. And this guy is like, when I feel that way, I force myself to relax and stay calm. There's a big difference in the way they respond to a big wave wiping them out. Now, it can kind of be like that with life for us. Where we're just kind of surfing along the waves of life, because we all know it's not just a smooth lake or something like that. You know, the ocean's a little bit more accurate. And every once in a while, a big wave comes along and wipes us out. Now, you can respond in one of two ways. You can grasp for control and for air and feel totally out of your element and totally out of control. Or you can relax and let go. The obvious choice is to let go and let God do it. You know, Paul was actually in a situation like this one time. The Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 27, he's on a ship caught in a really bad storm. A wooden ship. And this storm lasted like 2 weeks. That's a lot of storm. But he's on this ship because he's imprisoned, and they're taking him to Rome to be on trial before Caesar. They'd been at sea for quite a while. I'm sure it takes a while to get anywhere over there by boat. But this storm hits, and it lasts for a couple of weeks. And now the Roman guards and everybody on the ship are starting to get real nervous. They're pretty certain they're all going to die. And they bring the lifeboat on. They start tying ropes around the hull of the boat to try to hold it together. I mean, they're doing everything they can to keep this ship intact in the midst of this crazy storm. Can you imagine being in a wooden ship in a storm for 2 weeks? That thing's probably not doing so well. That'd be a little scary, I think. This storm is so intense that they have probably not seen the sun or the stars in quite a while. Sounds a little bit like the weather in Warren. Not in the last couple of days, but you know what I mean. Now, to explain this ship a little bit more. It's not just a transport ship. The way it all worked out, they got these guys on a cargo ship that was going where they needed to go. And so the ship has stopped in several different places. It's picked up cargo. It's sold cargo. So it's got all kinds of stuff on the boat. And at some point in this storm, they're like, guys, we got to start getting rid of weight. So they start throwing stuff off the ship. All the tackle, all the cargo, it's got to go. So we can try to withstand this storm a little bit. And Paul tells them what God told him. There will be no loss of life, just the ship. First of all, I hear that and I'm like, wait, if the ship's gone, how am I going to make it? But he tells them the ship's going to run aground on an island and we're all going to live. Still, they're all afraid. And it feels rightly so. So some of the sailors try to sneak away in the lifeboat like, hey guys, come on, we can still survive this thing. Let's just get in the lifeboat. Let's get out of here. And Paul tells them, hey guys, God said we all got to stay here or it's not going to happen. We can't abandon ship. We got to stay here. Finally, the captains and sailors and centurions or whoever else is on this boat decide to start listening to Paul, this man who is clearly hearing from God. They start trusting him. But then the ship starts falling apart. Rightly so, after 2 weeks at sea in a storm. And Paul has told them, guys, remember, stay with the ship. We'll all survive. But they start to get nervous again. They start to come up with another plan. They're like, okay, guys, maybe if we just jump and we can swim to shore. Maybe then we'll make it. We're not that far. We can just swim to shore. And then they're like, okay, we got a whole bunch of prisoners here. If they get away, we're probably going to face a death sentence for letting the prisoners go free. So they come up with this crazy plan that, well, let's just kill the prisoners, and then we can live, and no prisoners get away. But fortunately for Paul, he had made friends with the centurion that was guarding him. His name was Julius. And Julius wanted to save Paul's life. So he issues the order. He says, everybody who can swim, jump in and swim to shore. If you can't swim, grab a piece of the ship and let it float you in. Notice one little cool thing there is that the ship had to be broken in order to save them. Thought that was pretty neat. But they did this. They get to shore and they live. Only God can carry them to safety. They kept trying and trying and trying to come up with all these other plans, but they weren't trusting God. They had to let go of their plan of doing everything to regain control of the ship. You know, no doubt they knew what they were doing. No doubt that they had plenty of experience at sea. But they had to let go and let God's plan take action. They had to let go and let God hold them. And that's life. That's what life looks like for us a lot of the time. We have to let go of our trials on a daily basis and let God hold us instead. He knows the plan for our lives. He wrote our stories from beginning to end. Our futures already happened for him. He is witnessing what happens to us right now. He already knows everything that's going to happen to us. So we have to let go and let God do it. Let him lead us on his path. Let him carry us through the storm to the other side. This is a two-step process. The first part is let go. And that's a lot easier said than done. I don't know if you're like me, but that's a lot easier said than done. Look at Paul and the men in this storm. Like we just said, they tried everything. I mean, they tied ropes around the boat. They brought the lifeboat in. They were throwing all the cargo off. They're saying, let's kill the prisoners. They're trying everything to stay alive here. Instead of letting go and trusting. You know, they were grasping for anything that could help them regain control. And we have the same problem. We all have a plan for our lives. Some kind of plan. Some people's plans are more immediate. Some are more elaborate. You know, some are a little more, you know, intricate or sophisticated. Some are better planned out than others. But we all have some kind of plan for our lives. The way we want things to go. From day to day or thinking further ahead. Most of us are not just drifting through life. We have some kind of plan and that we want to follow. And we have to let it go. You know, the priorities that we set, the standards by which we make our goals and our decisions, we have to let that stuff go. Because when a wave knocks us down, we can't just grasp for control. We're supposed to let it go, relax, and stay calm. And one of the hardest things for us to do as humans is to let go. It's really, really hard to let go of our plans, to let go of control. We can actually get addicted to control. You know, the satisfaction of having a say in how something is going to turn out is like sweeter than some kind of sugar rush. It's great. But in our own strength, We are not going to be able to let that go. That's how addictions work. We need help. That's why there's a second part to this process. Because on our own, if we just stopped at let go, we'd be stuck. But the second part is to let God. He has a better design for your life than you can ever come up with. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much control you have, He is our provider, He's our guide, He's our protector, He's our host for life. And He has an agenda for His children that leads to a blessed life, a righteous life, a life with a better purpose than we could ever establish on our own based on worldly standards. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." Doesn't feel like that when we're engulfed in a wave, when we're trying to figure out which way's up. It doesn't feel that way. But these two steps need each other, and they need to happen in order. Because if we don't first let go of our own agenda, we can't grab hold of God's agenda, of His plan for our lives. So we're going to look quickly this morning at four ways to surrender control and to let go and let God. The first one is stop striving and start abiding. I saw a post on Facebook one time. Somebody said, striving to be a godly woman. And there's nothing wrong with that. No judgment. No judgment here. But didn't Jesus come so that we didn't have to strive and struggle so much to make it a little bit smoother for us? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I thought this was really interesting. The New American Standard Version says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Be still. Cease striving. Let it go. And the first step in learning to let go of control is that to stop striving. In Exodus 14, we come in on the scene like right before the parting of the Red Sea. And the Israelites are feeling pretty hemmed in. The Egyptian army, like their best fighters, are coming after them. And they're freaking out. Like, where are we going to go? There's a river here and there's an army there. Talk about a rock and a hard place. But instead of grasping for control, Moses says this, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Those are some reassuring words. And you know what God did? Of course you do. He parted the Red Sea and saved them. Because they let go and trusted that He would do it for them. He would fight for them. He would help them. And they didn't have to figure out how to do it on their own. He was in control the whole time. Even when they felt hemmed in by the enemy, He knew what was going to happen and what He was going to do for them. They just needed to trust Him. We don't have to strive to make our life turn out a certain way, to hold on to our plans. We just have to abide in Him. John 15 says, so this is the whole passage of the vine and the branches. And this is what Jesus says in verses 4 through 6. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." So stop striving and start abiding. Rest in Him. Relax and stay calm in those waves in your life so that you can let it go. Because if you don't, it's going to be hard to recover from the waves. The second thing is to confess and surrender your need for control. If you're like me, and whether you recognize it or not, you crave control. The way to change that is through prayer. You know, go to God. Be honest. You know, you can tell him, God, I confess that I like being in control. It makes me feel safe and secure. It makes me feel like I have a purpose. But I know that being a control freak isn't going to get me anywhere. Say, help me to control. Help me to submit my need for control each and every day. Help me to trust in you deeply so that I'm not so afraid to surrender the control. Help me to remember that you hold it all. Ask for help. Surrender it to him. Give it to him. That's part of letting go. Saying, Lord, I want to put this in your hands because I can't do it. I can't let go of it on my own. I need your help. Because if I try to do it, I'm going to keep trying to get control. If you're having trouble surrendering just through prayer, sometimes we have a hard time with that, with just doing it in what seems like such a simple way. Maybe even just adding a little bit of action to it and saying, all right, I'm going to write down each thing that I'm having trouble letting go of control of, one at a time, and just lay those pieces of paper on the floor as if you're laying them at the feet of the Father, saying, Lord, I'm surrendering this. Lord, I'm surrendering this. I'm surrendering this. You know what it is that you need to surrender. What are you holding on to the control of that you need to confess and surrender to God? The third thing is to trust, trust, trust. In realty, they say, like, it's location, location, location. Well, today it's trust, trust, trust. It's a lifelong process, trusting in God. And like a lot of aspects of our Christian faith, it's something that we have to make a decision to do every single day. We have to learn to let go of trying to figure out the whys of life and trust that God understands more than we ever can. Here's something that's helped me lately in putting trust in God. Is going back and remembering and thinking about all the times that he's come through for me before. All the times that he has provided for me, protected me, pulled me through, and his plan was better than my plan. And when I'm able to remember those things, it makes it a lot easier to put trust in him now. Because I know he's been faithful before, and he'll be faithful again. The last one this morning is to seek God. God holds the world in his hands. No, I'm not going to break into song. But we'll never fully grasp the power and extent of those hands. They're so powerful, we can't grasp it. But we really won't ever grasp it if we're not tuned into him, if we're not focused on him, if we're not seeking him and looking for him. When we surrender control, when we wait and trust in God's plan, we can know that he will be faithful to lead us where he sees fit. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When you put your whole heart into seeking him, you'll find him. It's that simple. Look and you'll find. Seek God and he will direct your steps. He will show you what to do. He will show you. He will carry you through that wave. We can seek him in his word. So many times we're like, how am I supposed to seek him? I don't know where to even look for him. He gave us a whole book to look for him in and to find him. If we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. Look in his word. We have to accept God's agenda, and that requires accepting his truth. And before we can accept his agenda, we have to choose what is going to be the foundation of our lives. And his word needs to be the foundation for us of what is right and wrong, of what is true and false, of what is good and evil. It needs to be that foundation for us. Letting go of our agendas and letting God direct our paths. I heard a song the other day. It was funny. I was sitting at my desk and I was like, started praying. I was like, Lord, what do you want to say this weekend? And suddenly the song came on Diane's computer. And I was like, hey, is that Casting Crowns? She said, yep. Immediately looked it up. And the song's called Just Be Held. And I was going to read you some of the lyrics, but I don't think it would really do that much to just listen to me say it. So I'm going to ask you guys to just take a few minutes and actually listen to the song. Please listen carefully to the words. It's really powerful. So please listen to this song by Casting Crowns.
Together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. On a storm, you wonder if our love is still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted, in time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes, your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be it. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be it. Just be it. Just be it. So far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be
held. I One line in that song that really stands out to me is when he says, your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. And when you're smashed in a wave and you have no idea which way is up, your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. And what you need to do is let go and let God. I don't know exactly where each and every one of you stand right now. You know, whether you're, and I've heard this said a million times, either you're coming out of a storm, currently in a storm, or about to go into a storm, because they're an inevitability in life. Or in our case today, it's, you know, it's waves, storm waves, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't know which one of those places you're in, but when the wave hits you, what is going to be your response? You know, I know that, especially yesterday, and I was totally getting smashed by a wave, and just feeling like, you know, I got 6 weeks left in school, I'm almost there, but I was sitting there doing my schoolwork, and I just felt like, I can't do this. I'm not going to make it. It's only 6 weeks, and I feel like I can't make it. But, you know, I hear that song, and God says, stop holding on and just be held. So I hope that you can have the same response. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then the worship team's going to come and close us out today. Heavenly Father,